We'll read Mark 10, 21 and 22. Then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Mark 10, 21 and 22. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you right now, in the name of Jesus, we ask, dear God, that you'd bless this time. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, for a filling of the Holy Spirit for this time. I ask, dear God, that you'd open all of our understandings that we might understand the Scriptures. And now, Father, may this not go out in just word only, but may it go out in word and power. Dear Lord, to make a difference to all that hear it, we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. I think one of the saddest passages of Scripture in the Bible, amongst a bunch of others, is that which we just read this morning. As I look at it, I realize that here this rich young guy comes to the Lord and says, I've done all of those things. But the Lord said, you lack one thing. One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. What an invitation. What an opportunity. The Lord said, do that and you'll be free to serve me. You'll be free to serve me, but there'll be no loss. I think the one thing that bothers you and me is the loss. There's so many people that I know of young men that God has called into the ministry, and the parents have said, what about the farm? What about this? What about that? In other words, if you do that, you'll lose all of this. But there's no loss. No loss. Look what he says. The Lord said, thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Boy, when you value what you've got here over the treasure in heaven, your value system is greatly messed up. And then he says, come, take up the cross and follow me. An invitation to be with Christ. An invitation to follow Christ. But he wasn't going to take it. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Boy, did he ever miss out on an opportunity. What a shame. Listen, if you don't see the value of things, you're in trouble. I mean, what's our streets made of out here? Asphalt and gravel and stuff, isn't that right? What's the streets in heaven made out of? Gold. So why not trade asphalt in for gold? Amen. Amen. Mark 10, 23 to 27. Let's pick it up here. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his word, but Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? They asked the question, but I want you to look at the answer. And Jesus And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. I want you to realize the passage of Scripture deals with salvation. The passage of Scripture deals with those that's going to be saved, those who are not. It deals with the salvation of people, doesn't it? And so the first thing Jesus said, with men it is impossible. So I want you to know something. There is not a thing a human can do to be saved. With men it is impossible. Totally impossible. There's no rite or church ceremony nor church action by man that can save man. There is no action of man that can save man. You can be as good as you can strive to be, but when you die, you'll die and go straight to hell. I mean, how often do we talk about Matthew 7? Right? And a few other places in the Bible. What do we find here? With men, it is impossible. What's he talking about? The salvation of the soul. With men, it is impossible. That word impossible, look right there, I've got it for you. Lacking in power and ability to alter, change, or control circumstances. Lacking in ability to change anything spiritual. In other words, listen, baptism has no power to change you spiritually. Good works has no power to change you spiritually. Nothing you do has the power to change you spiritually. It's like this. Some people say, well, boy, he's turned over or she's turned over a new leaf, right? He's turned over, she's turned over a new leaf. But it's still the same leaf, isn't it? The nature of the leaf has not changed. It's still the same leaf. You see, it's impossible. So listen to me. For those of you who have family members, for those of you that know people, for those of you that want to talk to people, take them to this passage of Scripture and read those verses to them. Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, Jesus said this. Jesus answered that question. With men, it is impossible. It is totally impossible for a human to save a human. It's totally impossible for a human to save themselves. It is totally impossible. Why? Because humans do not have the power to wash away sin. Humans do not have the power to forgive sin. Humans do not have the power to change a heart and change a mind. Humans just don't have that ability. It's an impossibility. But then look what he says. But with God, for with God all things are possible. Amen. All things are possible. Paul said that he was the chiefest of sinners, but God saved him. Go through the Word of God and look, and you'll find some pretty wretched people that God had saved. Go through history and you'll find people that nobody would ever have thought that God would have saved them, but God did. I mean, everybody from the arrogant, rich, moral man right down to the gutter. You find God saving people. that nobody else would have ever considered. God has that ability. Listen, all things are possible with God. I like what it says here. You see, it just doesn't say salvation is possible with God. It says all things are possible with God. If God wants to move a mountain, he can move it. If God wants to answer a child's prayer, he can. If he wants to answer your prayer, he can. If God wants to stop the sun, it'll stop. If he wants to stop the moon, it'll stop. If he wants to back the sun up, it'll back up. God has the power. All things are possible with God.
Amen.
That statement gives you and me the freedom to go to God in prayer, asking God to save souls. You might say, boy, he or she, they're cold, different, hard-hearted, so on and so forth. God can change that mind. God can. You can't. God can. Storm the throne of heaven with that reality that God has the ability to change the heart and mind of anybody.
Amen.
You know, sometimes circumstances will bring us to a reality. D.L. Moody, an evangelist of years past, he used to end his sermons by saying, go home and think about what I said. But during the great Chicago fire, several of people that come to his church died in that fire. Moody never did, after that fire, say, go home and consider what I said. From that time on, you'll hear him say, now think about what I have said and do it right now. You see, the reality came to him. He just assumed everybody would go home and think about it. But the fire killed some of them. And they died and went to hell. So Moody never did say that again. We need not to think like that. We must never think like that. But we must always think in the positive. God can. That's the only two words we need to know. Nothing more, nothing less. Listen. If that be a reality to you, and if that be a reality to me, then what should our prayer life be like? Our prayer life should be a place of absolute commitment, first of all. Our prayer life, we ought to approach the throne of grace with the reality that God can. Period. And approach the throne of grace with the reality that the only thing, one of the things that hinders that, the Bible says, ye have not because ye ask not. God does not answer prayers that have not been prayed.
Amen.
Listen. It's one thing for us, a lot of people don't pray anyway. They just want to tell God all about it. Right? They waste their breath by telling God all about it. God already knows all about it. Right? I mean, I've been in some prayer meetings where somebody to start praying and they spent 15 minutes telling God stuff he already knows. And then when they said amen, I thought to myself, they never prayed. They never prayed. They just told God everything he already knew. But they never ask God for anything. The Bible says, let your requests and petitions be made known unto the Lord. When you go to pray, you pray. You request things. You ask things of God. Why? Because he has the ability to answer the prayer, to change the life, to save the soul. We don't need to say, God, he's a dirty, rotten scoundrel. God knows that. God, he's hard-hearted, cold, indifferent. You don't have to tell God that. He knows that. Don't waste your time telling God stuff that God already knows. If you're going to go to God in prayer, then say, God, change that heart, change that mind, save that soul. Unless you pull a David, boy, you just want to complain about something to God. God, I'm in a mess. Now that's good, because God wants you to recognize your own self. When the reality of you comes to you, it'll change you. Watch this now. Impossible, impossible. Having the ability, possible. Having the ability and power to control all things, physical and spiritual. That's what possible means. God's got the ability to do that. You have not because you ask not. There is a reality to that. When reality comes to you, there's only a few things that we've got to deal with. And that's asking thing according to God's will. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. But remember something. God can answer prayer. He can do amazing things. The reality of it is, when you and I get to the point to where we say, who then can be saved? And the Lord said, with men it is impossible. For with God all things are possible.
Amen.
In other words, Jesus is looking at those men and saying, they say, who then can be saved? Jesus is saying, anybody. Anybody I want to be saved, I'll save them. From the guttermost to the uttermost, he has the ability to save them. Now listen, when that possibility becomes a reality to you and me, it'll change our prayer life. There's a lot of books written on the possibility of prayer. Well, you see, so it's all possible that somebody we could pray for, God would save them. Well, let's talk about the standard of conversion. Now, just think about this. A German theologian a couple of years ago made this statement. A German theologian. Now that's, you know, just the fact you say German, you think, well, that ain't good. But he said concerning American Christianity, especially American fundamental Bible-believing people, he said, you're too liberal for us. You're too loose for us. Now that is an insult first class. Then when he asked why, he said, because you've lost the standard of salvation. You have people, they'll say they're saved. But when you stand them up against lost people, they look the same, they sound the same, they act the same, they talk the same. America has lost the standard of true conversion. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, and he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new. That's the standard of true conversion. If you don't meet that standard, you're not saved. That's all there is to it. If you don't meet that standard, you're going straight to hell. If you don't meet that standard, you're lost. You say, why? Well, let me say this to you. Y'all listening? Good. What would you do if I told you I came in here this morning? And I said, wow, man, on my way to church this morning, I stopped alongside the road to look at the car. I thought I'd run over a nail or something. And a Big Mac truck hit me and knocked me down the road. Boy, went across the top of me. Man, that was rough. And all of you would be looking at me like, you're lying. You're lying. I'd say, well, why do you think I'm lying? Well, you don't look like a truck hit you. Right? But so it is for all you people that say that you're saved and the Holy Ghost of God was supposed to have hit you, and I don't see you having any change at all. You mean to tell me that a truck could do more on you than God, the creator of the universe? I don't think so. When God moves in on you, you change. People try to play that stupid game with me. I'm saved. Yeah, they look like an unmade bed where the way they're dressed, their breath smells like the north end of a southbound mule, and they want to say they're saved. So you ask them, well, have you read your Bible? Do you know where Matthew is? No, they have no concern for the Word of God, the house of God, the people of God, nor God of the universe. I didn't want to say they're saved. They want religion their way. They're no more saved than the seat you're sitting on. Look at the standard, folks. Look at the standard. He is a new creature. He is. Now, if you want to tell me that that's not true, you're telling me you don't believe the Word of God, then you're lost. The Bible says He is. He is. He is. Not, that's it, it's done. He is. Either He is or He's not. That's all there is to it. I hear people tell me, I had been in church in 40 years. I was thinking about coming back to church. I got saved down in a backer patch 40 years ago. You see, people want to tell me stuff like that. They're saved? No. No. He is a new creature. Boom! Instantly, things change for a saved person. When God saves somebody, they might hit their knees as a sinner, but man, they'll stand up as a saint. Old things are passed away. I don't keep doing the same old thing. Their value system changes. I really appreciate what one young fellow said. He was all involved in video games and stuff. And the day God saved him was the day he shut it all off. He said, I went in there and sat down. He said, I had my Bible laying here, video game here. And he said, I thought to myself, this is something. He said, I'm going to sit here and play this and not read that. He said, that's totally stupid. That's exactly what I've been doing for the past 10 years. So he trashed his video games and picked up his Bible and started reading it. You see, your value system changes. That's why old things pass away. Your desire changes. That's why old things pass away. When somebody tells me they're saved, I have expectation of evidence of salvation. How about reverence for God? How about looking at God like he's truly God? A sovereign God. Old things pass away. All things become new. Man, things change. Things change. Let me ask you a question. You might say, I've been converted. Well, what did your conversion do for you? How's your life been since you've been converted? What's changed in your life? Man, I've seen people that had a bad case of poochy lip disease 24/7. God saved them and the joy of the Lord took over. What happened to them? I've had some people even say, what happened to him or what happened to her? Well, something became new with them. Watch this now. The standard of conversion. You say you're saved. Let me ask you a question. Has your conversion, has your salvation, does it meet this standard? If it doesn't, I doubt you're saved. True salvation, biblical salvation, it affects your heart, your mind, your soul, your desires, everything. The reason American standard of salvation, because we've got to the point years ago, man, pray this prayer and you're saved. Where's the Holy Ghost in that? No conviction, no conversion. Listen, when God, if you can tell me that a Mack truck will have more effect on me than God would, that's crazy. All things become new. The character and commitment of conversion. Let's look at this. The character and commitment of conversion. Oh, I love this. Mark 8:34 to 38 was the whole thing there. But we're going to look at verse 34, all right? 34 to 38 is the whole passage, but we're just going to look at verse 34. Watch this now. This is part of the character and commitment of conversion. Watch this now. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Let him deny himself, that's personal. Take up his cross, that's personal, isn't it? You see, ladies and gentlemen, what we find in true conversion is true commitment. Life is no longer about you. All of a sudden, you'll find people that have truly been born again. Life is not all about them. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. The first thing that takes place in somebody that's truly born again, Christ is King. And boy, when that begins to happen, I've watched a lot of folks, God saved them, and boy, immediately they said, here I am, Lord, use me. I mean, selfishness was gone when they were saved. Something happened. Look at this. Come after me. Let him deny himself. One of the marks of somebody that's truly been born again is going to follow Christ is their willingness to say no to worldly things. And take up his cross and follow me. In other words, there's going to be some hardship in it. And the truly saved, born again person is willing to face the hardship of righteousness. Listen to me. It's not easy to live for the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. Jesus even said, if they've hated me, they'll hate you. Yeah, we can handle that pretty much. But what we can't handle is that little thing that says deny himself. That's what we don't like. We still like our big boy toys. We still like our running around. We still like our doing things. But the last thing we really want to do is put God first in our life. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things shall be added unto you. Listen, the world might make you worldly happy, but it'll never give you spiritual peace. There's a difference between worldly joy and the joy of the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, everything you really want, God will give it to you if you'll put him first.
Amen.
Watch this now. Take up his cross and follow me. You see, there's got to be a denying of self. You can't follow Christ and do the world at the same time. The world is at enmity with God, the Bible says. You've got to free yourself to follow Christ. How many young men have I seen over the years? Boy, they say they want to follow Christ. but they're still tied to the world, and they never follow Christ. Never. They're tied to the world too tight. That sounds like something we started off with, huh? Take up his cross and follow me. If you're going to follow Christ, there's a willing price that needs to be paid. Mark 10, 28 to 30. Watch this. You see, we start off, who can be saved? All things are possible with God. So God's standard, though, is high. Why? Because God can set the standard. And then God can make it possible for you and me to meet the standards. You see that? All things are possible with God. Well, that's good. But then 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Well, how's that going to happen? God's going to do it. It's possible for God to do that. Amen. Well, then, okay, well, who then can be saved? Well, all things are possible with God. Old things are passed away in our lives. Well, how's that going to happen? Well, God can do that. God can take that past and deal with it. It's possible for God to deal with the past and free you to serve him in the present and in the future. Amen. But if you're still tied to the past, you'll never be able to serve him. And then who then can be saved? Well, all things are possible with God. I said, behold, all things are become new. God, it's possible for God to give you a new life, a new mind, a new heart, a new value system. It's possible with God to change everything in you and make it new. God can take somebody that hates people and cause them to love people. There might be somebody in your life that, boy, you just flat do not want to forgive. But the Bible says if you don't forgive, your heavenly Father's not going to forgive you. It just closes up the door in your prayer life. I want you to know something. If I didn't have the ability to forgive, I'd be the most worthless preacher on earth. Man, I've got so many stab holes in my back because of church work, you could take my hide and use it for a salt and pepper shaker cover. That's church work. If I didn't have the ability just to forgive it and go on, I'd have got out of this business a long time ago. The reality of it is this: all things become new. That means you're going to have ability that you didn't have before. Did I want to forgive them? No. I just soon use them for target practice. But God says, listen, if you can't get rid of your past, you're not going to be able to serve me in the present or the future. Amen. So trash the past. Forget it. Forgive. Get up and go on. Serve God in the present. All things become new. What's become new in your life since you were saved? What has become new in your life since you have been saved? Okay? Now you're going to have to pardon me just for a second. I made somebody a promise and I got to keep my promise, okay? Okay, thank you. I said it, he opened his eyes. All right? Now listen to me. You see, folks, When we look at this, watch this now. Here we go. Mark 10, 28 to 30. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Look at this now. I started off by saying, concerning that young man at the top of the page, there's no loss. There's no loss. There's no loss. But I've seen multitudes of young men not go into the ministry because of the parents saying, well, you're going to lose this. You're not going to have that. What are you going to do about this? There's no loss. None. Look at this now. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. Look what it says now. But he, and there's a comma after gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. In other words, you go off and leave all the worldly stuff, God's going to replace it in this time. Just like that card that I read from the Stibers. Man, a church family, a home. In this time, look what, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. Look what he does in this time. He gives us everything that a family would have. You see that? But he says, with persecutions. In other words, I'm going to give you all the good stuff. But I just want you to know something. The world's not going to like it. Now just think about this. Just think about it, folks. God says, I'm going to give you all of this stuff. But the world's going to persecute you. Because I'm the one that gave it to you. I'm the one you represent. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's got to be a commitment. Realizing this, nothing is lost. Nothing is lost. And what you get, because the world didn't give it to you, the world's going to persecute you because of it. Because of the one you represent, because of the one that gave it to you. Listen, in this life there might be a high price for low living. And that sounds good, but listen to me. The Word of God declares there's a high price for right living. There's a high price for moral living. There's a high price for living for the Lord Jesus Christ and according to the Word of God. That's the difference between somebody that's truly born again and somebody that's not. Religious people will say, they'll carry their Bible, they'll do their thing, and they'll say, I'm saved and live totally contrary to the things of God. And die and go to hell like that. But the truly born again child of God, they don't worry about the worldly stuff. They appreciate what God gives them. But God said also with persecutions. If you're going to live for Christ, it's going to take some gutsy people. Strong, charactered men and women. That's willing to stand up and speak up and give up. For Christ, we need to get to realize this, and in the world to come, eternal life. Wow, You give it, he gives it back to you, but with persecutions. But after that, in the world to come, eternal life. What more could you ask for? What more could you ask for? You see, ladies and gentlemen, what we find is this. We want the world on the world's basis rather than enjoying the things of the world on God's basis. One is this. You get it, you say, well, I worked hard and I got the truck. The saved person says, praise God, God gave me a truck. You see, there's a heart of appreciation in the people that are truly born again. They appreciate the things that God gives them. Where the worldly person just says, yeah, look what I've done. Look what I've done. Look what I've got. You wouldn't have nothing if it wasn't for God. He even gives you the breath we're breathing right now. You see, when people are truly converted and under the hand of God, they're freed to serve Him. Because there's nothing in the past that's going to hold them back. There's nothing in the present that's going to keep them from it. The only thing they see is the opportunity of the future to lay treasure up in heaven. Saved, born again. The character and commitment of conversion. What is it? It's an abandonment of self. Now that's one thing a lot of people can't handle. An abandonment of self. Just think about this as I bring this to a close. What's fear all about? Fear is all about self, isn't it? You fear the loss of this and you fear that. What is discouragement? It's all about self. You're discouraged because of this. You're discouraged because of that. What's anger all about? It's all about you. As an individual, I'm angry because of this and this, and God didn't do this, and I don't have that, and I want this and don't have it. And what's disgust? You see, when you get to looking at all that stuff that hinders your life, it's all about you. But for those people that are truly born again, self dies, and they become a new creature in Christ Jesus. How many of you like to be around somebody that looks like a negative sign walking around all the time? Nobody does. I mean, man, they find something wrong with everything and everybody. I mean, and everybody, and they think everybody likes it when nobody does. I don't care if it's him or her, husband or wife. If that's you, nobody likes you. And that's the truth. Nobody likes you. You know why? Because you don't even like yourself. But then, I've seen that same person get saved and become one of the sweetest, kindest, loving, polite, people on earth that you just wanted to be around. Everybody says, what happened to him? Everybody goes, well, God saved him. Woo! There's a whole lot of saving went on there. What happened to him? You see, behold, old things pass away. Some things become new. Is that what it says? No. All things become new. You see that? Let me ask you a question. You say you're saved, well, what became new in your life? What's new in your life? What's new in your life? What's new? Do you still go to the same old movies? Support that garbage? Do you still let the television rule in your life and you watch stuff you shouldn't be watching? Huh? What become new? Is there things in your life, boy, that convict you? You see, if you're truly born again, there's a standard for that. And it's simple. If you don't meet the standard, you're not saved. God didn't save you. Why? Because there's a standard. If that truck had hit me and I'd have walked in here, you'd have said, man, what happened to you? A truck hit me. But I want you to know something. When the Holy Spirit of God hits you, He's going to hit you right in your heart, right in your mind, right in your spirit. And you know what He's going to do? Everything is going to change. Why? Because God changed it in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. That is the biblical standard. It says, He is a new creature. Get it? You got it? Who then can be saved? All things are possible with God.
Amen.
From the guttermost to the uttermost, God can save him. From the, like the old Blackbridge said, from the White House to the outhouse, God can save them. From the White House to the beer house, God can save them. From the White House to the drug house, God can save them. From the White House to the gutter, God can save them. And they change. You see, ladies and gentlemen, know this. The character and commitment of conversion changes self. We ended with this, and Jesus answered, said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children, lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Let me end this by saying, who can be saved? Anybody. But when God saves somebody, know this. There's a standard, a biblical standard. When God saves you, you change. Who can be saved? Anybody. Why? Because God can change anybody. Who can be saved? Anybody. Do you know what that does? And I end with this. That gives all of us in here the freedom to pray for the salvation of anybody. Regardless of how cold and indifferent they are, guess what? All things are possible with God.
Amen.
God can save anybody. Anybody. I listened to a sermon, and this guy was talking about his mother-in-law, who was a dedicated, committed Jehovah's Witness. And he took to fasting and praying for his mother-in-law. He said, and one day, to his shock, she come to church. He invited her to church. He didn't think she was going to come. But she showed up. She showed up at church. God saved her that day. She never went back. She took all that effort that she was putting into the Jehovah's Witness, and she served Christ not for salvation, but because of salvation.
Amen.
Let's all stand, if you would please, as we go to the Lord in prayer. And Heavenly Father, as we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, as D.L. Moody said, now think about what I have said. Do it right now. May the Holy Spirit of God speak to the hearts of the people that are here this morning, those that will hear this. May they realize that there is a standard of conversion. And so now, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you'd work in our hearts and lives. Dear God, may we realize that all things are possible with you. Father, may we pray for the vilest of sinners. May we pray, dear Lord, for the salvation of squeaky clean people that have high morals but are lost. God, may we pray for these people. Because when it comes to the salvation of humans, all things are possible with you. Now, Father, may we rejoice in that possibility. May we love that possibility. May we respect, may all of us respect that possibility. There's nobody beyond the ability and the grace of God. And now, Father, stir our souls to your glory and honor. Save souls. Call men to preach. Change lives. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.